Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, final hour of the show. Bill Ryder with you, filling in for Jim. Thank you for being here. As always, the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Phone number here, 1-800-636-8686. Rome@haveatake.com. Jim, of course, on Twitter, at Jim Rome. JimRome.com. I'm on there as well. Sports Writer. Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Sports Writer. I love that Will Brinson dropped Rick and Morty. This show is, it's one of the great shows, one of the great shows of all time. And there's a lot of things to be bummed out about. One of the things about COVID-19 that's a bummer, I was, selfishly, I live in L.A., really looking forward to seeing Lakers, Clippers in person and experiencing that in Staples Center. But for the Clippers, I think a giant advantage for that organization, and I'll ask Curt Hillen about this here in a second, see whether he agrees or not. But having been to so many Lakers-Clippers games over the years, and even, you know, before things shut down this past year, I don't believe the Clippers had any kind of home court advantage. Every one of those games was going to be a Lakers home game. I know both teams are going to sleep in their own beds and all of those things. The fact that it's a neutral court, I think, might slightly on the scales lean toward the Clippers. And we're going to ask Curt Hillen about it. The man behind Pro Basketball Talk, one of my favorite guys in the business, Mr. Hillen, joins me now on the Jim Rome Show. Curt, I hope you're hanging in there, buddy. It's been a crazy 2020.
It certainly has. Yeah, I have actually gotten nothing to complain about, ultimately. My family is healthy and safe, and you know, I've still got a job, which is more than so many people out there can say right now. And so I really have nothing to complain about. I've been lucky through all of this.
Well said, Curt. Me too. My wife and kids are great. I'm still employed, you know, counting my blessings every single day. So as we try to figure out what to make of the bubble and how it's going to impact teams, let me just start with what I was just talking about. Do you see any advantage for either the Lakers or the Clippers in playing in Orlando, especially given the fact that there's not going to be seven games, obviously, at Staples Center?
I think that's, like you said, I think it's a small advantage for the Clippers in that, again, if you've been to a Laker-Clippers home game, or let me rephrase that, if you've been to a Clippers home game against the Lakers, it's a Laker home game.
Right.
Like it's not even close. I mean, it's even after a Clipper home game, it's 60-65% Laker fans. Like, it is as loud or louder when the Lakers make a play than when the Clippers make a play. And that's with all the, you know, piped in music and everything else that they're trying to do, the DJ and everything else. It's just a Laker town. So putting that on a neutral court sort of help. The Lakers don't get the boost of the crowd. I don't know how much that helps them. LeBron James is pretty motivated. Anthony Davis has been, frankly, the best player in the bubble so far. He, you know, it's only a few games, and he's been phenomenal. But I think it does help the Clippers once they eventually someday theoretically get healthy. They don't have to play like seven away games in the conference finals.
Curt Hillen here on the show. Curt, I talked about this a lot. I'm just curious your take. If you dive into the numbers, it really jumps out how important Avery Bradley was to that Lakers team. He's not LeBron, I get it. He's not AD. But their best lineups, their best defensive lineups, what he did individually guarding guys, what he did individually guarding Clippers in those three games he played in, to what degree do you think that his absence could be significant in the playoffs for L.A.?
I think there's certain matchups, and the Clippers are one of them, where he was really important because of just his versatility as a defender. You go up, what makes the Clippers on paper, and I keep saying this like on paper with them because they just haven't, you know, they get Lou Williams back today. They, you know, they haven't really had their whole group together. But when they have, what makes them so dangerous is the wing play. They have two of the top 10 players in the league and two of the best wing players in the league. And that gives them a lot of versatility, a lot of options, a lot of different ways to beat, you know, create shots and beat you. It doesn't have to be LeBron. look, they're going to run LeBron James isolation or LeBron James Anthony Davis pick and roll, and that's brutal to stop. But the Clippers have more ways to go about getting buckets just because of the way their roster is built. And Bradley at least gave you some real defense against that. I don't know that the Lakers can replace that with KCP. They don't have Deion Waiters has played well for Rondo as a secondary ball handler, but I'm not counting on him for defensive stops. Let's say they're not really built quite the same way to defend without Avery Bradley against the Clippers, and I think there's a couple other matchups where they'll really miss him.
Kurt, knowing what we know about who the personnel we're going to have, which of the LA teams is the better basketball team for you?
On paper, it's the Clippers. I picked them to win the title, so I will stick with them. That said, you know, we still haven't seen them together in the bubble, and you know, we're not sure when Montrezl Harrell will be back. He's going to take his time returning from this. How quickly can they get their chemistry? Because what you can say about the Lakers is they've built chemistry. They've had their guys. I mean, guys have been in and out. Now Rondo's out. But they have really built a chemistry and a style, and they know who they are. And they, over the playoffs, LeBron James is motivated. Right now they are playing better than the Clippers. But I still see the potential of the Clippers as passing them. And I think with their veterans and with Doc Rivers' coaching, they can get there. Like, they can get there really fast. They need to get all these guys on the floor together for a few games and then through the first round of the playoffs to kind of get their legs under them and get a feel for each other.
I agree with absolutely everything you just said. Kurt Heelan here on the Jim Rome Show. I'm Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. All right, Kurt, so I'm going to do this topic here. I want to dive into it in about 15 minutes, but I want to get your take. So just as part of this question, accept the premise, if you will, whether you believe it or not, but I think you might, that there could be some chaos in the postseason in this bubble. There could be some things you don't expect, right? There might be some opportunities for teams that aren't the favorites, potentially. Chris Paul's never won an NBA championship or been to a finals. James Harden has not won an NBA championship. Mike D'Antoni has not been as a coach to an NBA finals. If there's one player in this bubble for whom winning an NBA championship would be the most significant change for their legacy, who would it be? Who jumps out to you?
I mean, outside of saying Giannis, because he's, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo still has to win one. And he's obviously got a legitimate shot. I think it matters more for Harden in some ways, doesn't it? Like, I feel like it's a validation that he needs a little more. Chris Paul is going to go down as the greatest point guard of a generation, and he might not have a title to go with that. And I don't know that that changes his legacy the same way there would be validation, because there's so much, gosh, there's just so much hate for how James Harden plays out there. And people don't, I'm not one of those people, but there are people who don't enjoy watching him and are just not James Harden fans. And if he brought home a ring, especially with, you know, starting P.J. Tucker or playing P.J. Tucker at center for key minutes and this lineup, it would be a legendary kind of accomplishment. It would be something talked about, and that ring would mean a lot to him. I think it would matter more to him than maybe anyone else.
I love that answer. That's really interesting. Kurt Heelan here on the program, on the Jim Rome Show. So let's dive into the Rockets a little bit. The sample size is really, really small, right? They trade Clint Capella, and then everything basically shuts down, and we haven't seen a lot of this lineup. But what we've seen has looked really good. I guess, you know, for me, I wonder if they can force enough turnovers to make up for what's going to be obviously a lack of rebounding. But they're going to shoot 30, 40, 50, 60 three-point shots a game. To what degree are you maybe buying that these guys are or are not legitimate contenders with this very interesting approach that they're going to roll out there in the postseason?
I think the break helps them, right? Like, they get a fully healthy Russell Westbrook, which they kind of had. They looked a little worn down. James Harden looked a little just tired with everything that had been on his shoulders near the end. And also, look, they're now asking a lot of P.J. Tucker. And this is more minutes and kind of more responsibility than he's had. And games are coming every other day, and they're going to come every other day in the playoffs. He's not getting the same kind of breaks or nights off that he got before. The break, I think, just getting the fully rested and their legs under them helped them. I think they are a threat against certain teams. I got a feeling, Bill, don't you get the feeling like they're going to get into a series And the first two games, it's going to take the other team's going to be adjusting. Like, I think they can, even against a good team, they go up against the, you know, let's say the Lakers or the Clippers, they could steal one or two early because people aren't adjusted to playing to them. When they get there, when those teams start to really figure it out, I don't know what the there's not really a counter, right? Like, Rockets are the Rockets. They're going to do this. But maybe they can win another game because James Harden just has one of those nights. And suddenly, like, they could steal a series. I'm not convinced that they could beat the Lakers or the Clippers. I don't think that happens. But I think they're a bigger threat than people realize just because they're doing something nobody else is doing, and it's just going to take some adjustment. It's going to take a couple of games for people to get used to it.
Kurt Heelan here on the Jim Rome Show at Basketball Talk on Twitter. Kurt, I talked about this earlier. The Raptors are defending champions who have the third best record in the NBA, the second best defensive rating in the NBA, a really, really gifted head coach, a great leader in Kyle Lowry, a superstar, a rising superstar in Pascal Siakam. And yet, at least to my mind, and I was guilty of this probably all the way as recently as maybe February, certainly January, a lot of folks who don't give them the due that they deserve. What is your evaluation of the Raptors, and to what degree do you consider them actual contenders to make an NBA Finals this year?
Yeah, you can't see this because it's radio, so it doesn't really work as well, but I'm raising my hand as well. Like,
yeah.
I'm absolutely one of those guys who has sold this team short pretty much all the way along this season. And right now, they're one of the best teams. And they beat the Lakers. You saw how good their defense was against the Lakers. And you know, there's Lakers fans out there saying they had an off night. Sure, defense can help force an off night. This is a very good, very smart defensive team who has the advantage, Bill. What I like in a playoff team, and I mentioned this with the Clippers earlier, the best playoff teams are versatile, right? Like, we can beat you big, we can beat you small. The Warriors have been that way for a few years. Like, they could just beat you at whatever your style was because of the talent and the way their roster was built. There's a little of that in Toronto. I mean, they are tonight it's Kyle Lowry's turn, and tomorrow it's Siakam's turn, and then we can have a game where Serge Ibaka and Gasol shut down the paint. Like, we can beat you a variety of different ways. Those are dangerous teams. I think they've been really good in the playoffs. I think we've sold them short. If the Bucks stumble, I still think the Bucks are the best team in the East. But if they stumble, if something happens where maybe they're just not quite as good and or there's an injury or whatever happens, I think the Raptors are there. I've been selling Boston as the second best team in the East, and I'm watching the games now in the bubble thinking, what am I thinking? It's Toronto. They have the second best record. I think a return trip to the finals is not out of the question.
Kurt, is there a team that we haven't talked about at any length in this conversation here on the Jim Rome Show who you think have a real chance to outperform expectations when the postseason rolls around?
You mentioned it briefly, but I think Oklahoma City is better than everybody thinks they are. Like, I think Oklahoma City is going to win their first round matchup unless they somehow faded back and got the Lakers or Clippers. I think they're that good. I think they're versatile. They shoot, Chris Paul has been phenomenal. I don't think I think they're a player away from being a true championship threat, but they have been, like, from December 1st on through the start of the bubble, they were 31-13. Chris Paul has been absolutely clutch all season. I think this is a team that knows how to win in tight games and by the way, make tough shots. I like those kind of teams in the playoffs. I think this is a team that upsets somebody in the first round and then pushes whoever they get in the second round, whichever LA team they end up with in the second round, they push them really hard.
Yeah, I think you're right. Kurt Heelan here on the show. Kurt, last one for you. What is the right answer here? In order for the Spurs to continue what's a pretty remarkable postseason streak, is the 9 seed acceptable, or is that hot garbage? Do they have to actually make a best-of-7 series to have their, in your mind, playoff run continue?
Oh, no. To make the 22 years 23, they would have to get into us. They would have to get into the 7-game series. It's not out of the question. Greg Popovich is like a master. It's like, hey, you know what have I got? I got 4 guards with my 4 best players. All right, let's roll them out there. Let's make this work with you know, Jakob Poeltl as my center. And they've been good. I mean, they are almost 3-0 in the bubble if it isn't for DeJounte Murray deciding not. Hey,
yeah.
Shake Milton's the inbounder. You know, the inbounder on a key play is never dangerous. I'll sag way off him. and just left him wide open for that three to keep the ball away from Embiid. If that doesn't happen, they might be 3-0 right now in the bubble, and they've been phenomenal. They're fun, by the way. They're up-tempo. They're fun. They're very different than the Spurs, you know, with LaMarcus Aldridge in the roster. If they're going to extend this thing, they've got to get the 9 seed and then beat Memphis twice in a row to do it. And I was about to say they can't do that, but, you know, every time I say they can't do that about the Spurs, I'm just wrong, so I'm not going to say that.
that, my friend, I can absolutely – I think 10 years ago I was saying the Spurs were done, whatever it was, right? Like, I'm done doubting Greg Popovich. I'm done.
I've written so many obituaries for the Spurs that have just been flat wrong.
Brother, I hear you. Kurt, I'm glad that you're healthy, your family's healthy, glad that you're gainfully employed. Really appreciate you making time, buddy. Thanks for being on.
I look forward to seeing you soon, buddy. We'll get together and have a beer once we can, you know, get together and have beers again.
Cannot wait, Kurt Heelan. Thank you, pal. Kurt Heelan on the show at Basketball Talk on Twitter. That is an NBA sports writer. That is a truism for almost every NBA writer on the face of the earth. The myriad numbers and ways we have written obituaries for the Spurs going back 10 years. Greg Popovich does a lot of things well, including making sports people look stupid, and not just in interviews during nationally broadcasted games. All right, let's. I want to hit this a little more. I thought Kurt's answer was really interesting. If you want to weigh in, 1-800-636-8686, across all the sports, not just the NBA. For whom is a championship the most important legacy moment? Is it a Phil Rivers? Is it a guy like Chris Paul? Is it a Clayton Kershaw? Want to get into that, given the possibility of some bizarre, strange, long shot things happening. We'll dive into COVID legacy opportunities in a moment here on the Jim Rome Show.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back into the Jim Rome Show. My name is Bill Ryder, filling in for Jim here on CBS Sports Network and CBS Sports Radio. Don't have time to wax your car? 303 Touchless Sealant is a quick and easy solution. Simply spray on and rinse off. It's that easy. Get the ultimate protection and shine in no time. Available at O'Reilly, AutoZone, and Advance Auto Parts. Visit 303radio.com for more information. Phone number here on the program, 1-800-636-8686. Get you a few calls here in a little bit, certainly before we sign out for the day. RomanHaveATake.com, at Jim Rome, JimRome.com. You can also hit me up, Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. I was thinking about this last night. I was watching some NBA games and some baseball flipping back and forth. And especially in baseball, because of the way that they've added now, 16 teams will make the postseason if MLB can continue, and the best of three first-round playoff series, which are basically coin flips in Major League Baseball, but also in the NBA bubble and the uncertainty of what's going to happen. And just, to me at least, I think the narrowing between the top teams and some of the other teams, it just the sense I get as I watch these games, I realize that some unpredictable things can happen. And this COVID-19 postseason opportunity in both the NBA, Major League Baseball, the National Football League, if it happens, is going to present, I think, some really interesting opportunities for players who have to get a championship and for whom getting one would change everything. And I was thinking about and I asked the guys this too, who are the players out there who require a championship to change their legacy the most? Who needs one more than anyone? A year ago, the answer I would have given is Andy Reid. A year ago, I would have said, Andy Reid gets a Super Bowl somehow, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs team continue to figure it out. The guy becomes automatically one of the great coaches of all time because he's so innovative. Obviously, he got that Super Bowl. I think there's an NBA comparison to Mike D'Antoni. And we just heard Kurt Heelan talk about how, for Kurt, he thinks James Harden's the guy, which is interesting, whose legacy is the most enhanced. I'm not sure that I'm there because Harden still has some time. He does. He's not at the point where Chris Paul was, where if Chris Paul doesn't get an NBA championship this year, next year, maybe the year after, it's not going to happen. Unless he, I guess, in his final years, goes and plays with his buddy LeBron. I'm not sure how much that counts. Like Love Gary Payton. I think GP's a great guy. I got to work with him on TV. He's a great dude. And he won a championship. But he also, with that Heat team, you know, it's different when you're not the guy. As it relates to just how we see you and how we view you. Here's the list for me. Here are the people that I'm keeping an eye on that I think they win an NBA, a Major League Baseball, or an NFL championship, respectively. It changes everything about how they're regarded. And this idea, and it's always players, former players who push this, this idea you don't have to win a championship to be regarded at this ultimate level is wrong and silly and doesn't make sense. I mean, at the end of the day, these are games where we keep score, right? It's not rocket science. It's not heart surgery. It's not looking for a vaccine for COVID-19. It's a sporting event. So since we've decided there's some value in who wins more games than other teams, who scores more points in these random things we've created, winning a championship is kind of important. It's not like this crazy leap in logic where, oh, you're a hot taker. And I'm sorry, Charles Barkley. It's true. I love Chuck, but it's just true. Clayton Kershaw is on the list. Kershaw, and I'm not going to lie to you, Dodgers fans, so prepare to be offended. I don't mean to, but it's just the truth. Kershaw is, I don't think I've seen a starting pitcher since Greg Maddux for me in the regular season who's as dominant, as remarkable, where I know I'm watching a level of history that stacks up despite the many, many decades of the sport. But don't give me this. Kershaw's been better than people say in the postseason. No, he's been hot garbage. Hot garbage. And I want to thank you as a Cubs fan. We benefited from that in a pretty big NLCS game. And by hot garbage, I mean by the look, you're LeBron James, right? Scoring 19 points in 2 of 7 conference finals games, playing badly, it's not acceptable even if you go off for 50 in another one. You got to be the guy all the time. Clayton Kershaw has not been. And the whole notion that Dodgers fans use to explain it away, well, they left him in too long. Clayton Kershaw left himself in too long. Clayton Kershaw is making the decisions for when he leaves baseball games in the postseason. And so Kershaw, who's an amazing talent, I don't know him at all, but by all accounts a really nice guy, that guy becomes, for me, he becomes Greg Maddux-like. He becomes, and you could make a case with just looking at the analytics, the sabermetrics of it, you can make a case he's one of the great, if not the great, pitchers in the history of the game if he gets a World Series. And the other thing for Kershaw that really, I think, undercuts his legacy is there are some guys you can make the argument for. Take Maddux. Had he stayed with the Cubs, like, it's a team sport. His team didn't get to the playoffs very often, so he didn't really have a chance to show what he could do. That ain't Kershaw's problem. They've won the NL West, I don't know, I don't have it in front of me, 78 times in a row? Like, whatever it is. It's just like nonstop. It's just automatic. They've had opportunities. 2 World Series, won their division again and again and again and again, and he hasn't gotten it done. Multiple opportunities. He needs a legacy badly. Chris Paul, I'm not going to take shots at Chris Paul. He is the most talented point guard of his generation. With Isaiah Thomas from the Pistons, I think he is the most talented point guard in the history of the modern era, excluding Magic Johnson and LeBron because they're freaks of nature. But as a prototypical point guard, he's an amazing player. It would be wildly significant for him. Certainly for James Harden. I think Mike D'Antoni is a really, really important one. And then another guy that I want to throw out there, because his numbers are markedly impressive. They are. The guy that he's linked with in his draft class, and Eli Manning, who already has a couple, Phillip Rivers is a guy who could overnight transform himself. I mean, he'll be a Hall of Famer, but the level of greatness with which he could be regarded if he could just get one. And we don't know if there's going to be an NFL season, but the Colts are really interesting. I mean, that's a good, that's a great roster. It was last year. And the possibility of Phillip Rivers at the end of his career rewriting his legacy, it's a very real thing. Take John Elway. And Elway, one of the great QBs in the history of the game, not one but 2 Super Bowl rings on his fingers when he chooses to break him out of the safe. That guy didn't get him to the end of his career. For those of you that are a little bit younger than I am or don't want to remember if you're Broncos fans, there was all kinds of talk about Elway being the most talented player to the new Marino. Until at the end of his career, he was able to finally, with those teams, figure it out. This COVID situation is going to offer those opportunities. The irony is, for Clayton Kershaw, it actually makes the road harder. You know what? There's another one, and I wish I could take credit. It actually might be the best name on this list, and this comes from Garrett Ritt. Who, by the way, I'm finding out on Twitter, is a, I didn't know this, a marvelous singer of Go Cubs Go. We might have to play that at the end of the show. I'm a Cubs fan too. I didn't know that Garrett had a musical background. Garrett gave me this Billy Beane and what it would mean for his legacy if the Oakland A's could win a World Series would be transformative. Because to me, Billy Beane is on that list of a Mike D'Antoni, of an Andy Reid before last year. These are guys who quite literally transform their games. They transform their sports. They were visionaries to the point of being mocked for what they did. And then everybody adopted their approaches. And outside of Andy Reid, were able to use the things that were invented by these guys to have the success the actual inventors couldn't have. And for Clayton Kershaw, a best of three series is the worst thing that could possibly. It's the worst thing that possibly happened because the Dodgers are better than every team in the National League except for maybe one every year. Like every year, there's a team that's like it's evenly matched, right? Oh, the Nationals one year, the Cubs another year, but for the most part, the Dodgers should be making the NLCS just based on their roster and what they've done. And give Andrew Friedman, the president of operations, credit. For Billy Beane and the A's, it's different. They can't get past the Yankees. They haven't had the success that they want. They're so committed to – because the Dodgers do the Billy Beane thing as well. We're going to play the long game. We're going to use major sample sizes. We're going to use sabermetrics. And we're going to get in because we're smarter than everybody else. But the problem for the A's is then you get into this best of seven series. You don't have the firepower for random chance. The Dodgers take the Billy Beane approach, and they spend tons of money. Let's add Mookie Betts. We won 106 games or whatever it was. Let's add one of the best three or four offensive players in the game. The A's can't do that, but they can take advantage of COVID-19. You win a best-of-three series. Maybe the Yankees go down to somebody, whoever it is. They play at Tampa Bay or whoever. It doesn't matter who. Cleveland in a best-of-three, and the road opens up. That's going to be something I'm really drawn to over the course of the next three, four, five, six, hopefully 7 months if we have an NFL season. How some of these doors that open that normally wouldn't provide some of these greats the chance to claim the one thing that's eluded them. And that is the opportunity for a championship. And I think I'm with Garrett. I think Billy Beane is the guy. Kershaw's a close second. Only because Billy Beane is a revolutionary in the sport. And Kershaw just behind him in level of importance. But for all these folks, the last or one of the last great chances is going to come at this bizarre time where maybe anything can happen. Oh, Carmelo Anthony just – so Rich just said Melo. Melo's never going to win a championship. I mean, that's like saying, you know, and I'm happily married, but if I were to like go back to college, like, well, what if Bill dated supermodels? Not going to happen. And Melo never going to – no. Melo, look, I don't want – see, now you're making me mean, Garrett. You're making me mean because Melo's a really nice guy. But this whole – he had a good game. Oh, Melo, it's real. It's Olympic Melo. No, it's not. Stop it. Back to elbow jumpers, not passing the ball, but now he's a little bit out of shape. Carmelo Anthony, gosh, I know I'm going to be mean. He's one of the great wastes of talent in the history of the sport, just in terms of like accomplishing. Maybe him and Dwight Howard is a tough call. But Melo's a super nice guy. Yeah, I mean, I guess if Melo won an NBA championship, that would be great. But it would also be cool if I could dunk a basketball. We just have to accept reality as it is and move on. All right, Garrett Ritt, the musician's going to make apparently an appearance. We're going to read some of your tweets. Welcome back into the Jim Rome Show. I am Bill Ryder, filling in for Jim. Thank you so much for being here. As you get back to business, Grainger is there to help. With supplies and solutions for every industry, free access to product specialists, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more, visit Grainger.com/recovery. Grainger for the ones who get it done. 1-800-636-8686 is the phone number, rome@haveatake.com. JimRome.com, at Jim Rome on Twitter. I'm on there as well at Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Thank you to Garrett Ritt and Alvin DeLauro, who has been, as always, have been awesome to work with. I love being in. It's always the best part of my month, my week, my year, whatever it is, when I get the chance to fill in. I'll be in next Thursday and Friday as well, a week and a half from now. And I would be remiss if I didn't say to my daughter and son, Madeline and Henry, love you guys who are watching right now on CBS Sports Network. You can also, of course, be listening on CBS Sports Radio. Let's take a call or two, and then I want to get to some of these tweets, including one that has pointed us to the musical abilities of one of the guys that works on the show. David in New Jersey, appreciate your patience, buddy. You're on the Jim Rome Show.
Not a problem, Bill. It's David Horry from Jersey, Franklin, and I'm excited to be on the show the first time, and just wondering if I could talk to you about the Yankees. I think they may be headed to the promised land.
Fire away, brother.
28, maybe.
Yeah, fire away.
I don't think that, you know, the season should have an asterisk to it, no matter who wins. I'm hoping the Yankees, but, man, things are looking good. Voit is healthy and steady on first base. He's repaired. You got DJ on second. He could be a league MVP. Glaber's a little starting off a little slow, but he's awesome. Third base, Gio's a magician in the field and even hitting home runs this year. Guardy's always steady out there in left, and Hicks is healed up. Judge, I mean, he could be, I'm feeling he's the new face of the league as they're talking. Move over Mike Trout. Got to stay healthy, and obviously the pitchers are looking pretty good. 1 through 5, and the bullpen's kind of magic for the last 15 years. I don't know. I don't think there should be an asterisk, no matter who wins. You know, they're playing ball. It's COVID time.
David, I'm with you on the asterisk. I don't think there should be and there won't be in the long run with anybody. The Yankees are awesome. I mean, it's early, but they've been awesome. The problem is, and I sound like a broken record, but it's true, so I'm going to keep repeating it. A best-of-3 playoff series, there are going to be some Giants that get felled that wouldn't lose in a best-of-7 series. So there just are. The Dodgers, the Cubs, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Astros. Some of the big boys are going to go down. And what you really want in that situation is dominant pitching. Again, it's such a coin flip. Anything, I mean, it's a series. It's a three-game series. But you're a team like Tampa Bay. It's a big if. Kershaw can pitch the way that he has. I mean, those uni guys can come in and shut down a team from Jump Street. But I'm with you, man. The Yankees look good. This is a good tweet. We were just talking here on the Jim Rome Show, Bill Ryder filling in, just talking about guys whose legacies could be enhanced, so they can squeak out a championship in this bizarre COVID-19 season. And Rye21K tweets at Sports Writer, definitely Matt Ryan's a good one. Definitely Matt Ryan is atop that list that could flourish his legacy from winning the Super Bowl. It'll help with the 28-3 pain that surrounds him. I think the guys brought it up, and I was at that Super Bowl. That is one of the most painful, and I wasn't on that game like most of you that are listening remember that game, unless you're a Falcons fan or a Patriots fan, for just losing all the money. Like Vegas just finding the way to win all the money in the most ridiculous way. I wasn't on that game, thank God. It was still one of the most painful things I've ever seen. It was like being, you know, if you're a fan of any team that's been cursed, you could feel and sense the pain of those Atlanta fans. And you're right. I don't think Atlanta has any kind of a chance this year, but the NFL's a crazy beast. Things turn around fast. And Matt Ryan, and it has to be a Super Bowl. He's been to a Super Bowl. And the other irony is, for poor Matt Ryan, it's not even the guy's fault. Run the football. Run the end. Three words. Kyle Shanahan's incredibly impressive, but most greats learn from their failures. He learned from that failure when he was the coordinator there. And now he's taken whatever knowledge he gleaned elsewhere to the Niners. Oh, you poor Falcons fans. At SA Sports Honk tweets, even I think Chris Paul is overhyped. Sincerely, Jake from State Farm. Best laugh ever. Oh, that made me laugh. At Mailman Casey, what, Bill? Game of Thrones didn't make the cut for the best shows to watch over again? Man, has any show ever gone from being so good to so terrible that from that ending? That ending that was a worse television ending than Lost. Remember when we thought Lost was going to be a great TV show? Speaking of Lost, have you guys seen The Leftovers? Holy cow, I just finished that. It's like 10 years old. Amazing. Yeah, I can't put Game of Thrones on the list because the ending is one of the worst things I've ever seen in my entire life. It was so bad. Oh, we got a tweet from at John in New York. This is exciting. Bill, any chance you and Ritt sing a Go Cubs Go duet before the end of the show? I'll tell you this. You don't want me singing. Some of you don't want me even talking. But I promise you don't want me singing. But sources tell me that the one and only Garrett Ritt, Renaissance man that he is a musical expert when it comes to sharing his Cubs fandom. And apparently I'm going to hear for the first time evidence of that musical genius.
Baseball season's underway. But go ahead and slot the Cubs in last place. Because Quintana won't be able to play. He just effed his finger up today. They're singing, no Cubs, no. Hey, Cubs, you blow. Jose Quintana, what do you say? Dishwashing is not your game. The Cubs are a joke. They may as well stay home. It wasn't Paul Olive or Cascade to blame for giving that thumb fillet.
Wow, dude. That's quite a moment. It's quite a moment preserved forever. Who made you do that? How did that happen? I missed that particular episode.
Well, you didn't miss much. No, it was hilarious. We brought the idea that morning and during prep time, so I wrote that up really quick on the fly.
Well done.
Came in and recorded it. And Jim heard it for the first time on the air when that happened. So it made for quite the jungle moment.
Taylor Swift, you're not in terms of vocals.
Tell me about it.
But I'm impressed. I'm impressed by the writing skills.
Thank you very much. The clones actually gave me quite a bit of credit for that last Palm Olive and Cascade line. So that was...
You wrote that day up.
Yeah, probably about an hour before we went on the air.
Well, I'm just telling you, look, Taylor Swift is dropping albums like every 3 weeks now. And apparently she is looking for writing partners. So, Taylor, if you're listening... Ritz out here if you want to mix in a little baseball,
that's where the money
sports.
Is, man. That's absolutely where the money is. But I don't think it is in writing Cub parodies. I don't know.
You don't think that's
too much
gonna,
cash in that one?
You don't think so?
No.
You just got to expand it to writing parodies about Kanye and other figures in the sort of pop culture sphere, and you're totally. Although I think Kanye is kind of off limits now, right? Because
hero Weird Al already has that market covered. So
is Weird Al still alive?
Yeah, I saw him in concert last year.
You saw him in concert. You went to a...
Dude, I played the Greek Theater in Los Angeles. Not just that, but he played with a symphony orchestra behind him. We're just in the second row. Thank you for my wife giving me a birthday gift there. It was amazing.
Did he do Eat It?
Of course. He does all the hits.
He does all the... I mean, that guy is...
That's the first one you came to. You obviously don't follow my guy because he's had like 18 albums since then.
18 albums and you were aware and you own the albums you've listened.
Yes, I do. I love me some Weird Al. He's the best. He's my hero.
How old is that guy now? Like 70?
No, come on. He's mid-50s.
No, there's no way he's in his 50s.
I'll look it up right now, but I'm pretty sure.
I mean, when I was 8, he was singing this song. And unless he was, 18, he's got to be in his 60s. Man, I have not heard this in a long time.
I'll give it to you. He was actually right on it. 60 years old.
Yes. He's 60?
Yes.
Okay. This guy's rich from this. Like, this is... Get yourself an egg and beat it.
I feel like one of the guys that hates the guy's most famous song, but it's like, come on, give me some. He's got like 20 better songs than Eat It. Not that I'm against Eat It. It's fine. But.
There's 20... Name one better song.
Oh, my God. There's so many good songs. His Star Wars parody is so much better. So many. All right. Well, don't get me going too much.
Yes,
exactly. It's way too far down the rabbit hole.
Not judging you. Otherwise, I'd be talking about my tennis matches. So, like, this is better for the audience. I do want to play Hawk in tennis. I'm pretty sure, though, I'm going to get smoked, right? I feel like he's been too chill about it. Like, oh, yeah, I'm not that good. Do you guys have any sense of Hawk's abilities? None? You just know that he tinders it up.
None of us have ever actually seen him play. I don't think. Allie, you know? You've never actually seen him. He just talks a big game.
All right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a day off from CBS Sports HQ, which I do most nights on NBA coverage, including tonight. When I'm back next Thursday and Friday, I'm going to bring my tennis stuff. I'm going to set up a match. Maybe we'll try to do it Thursday so we can talk about my humiliation on Friday. Or you know, maybe it'll go a different direction, guys.
I'm a little fearful for both of you. It could turn badly for either. I don't know who it could turn badly for. It could... Turn badly for one of you, though.
I mean, the wheels can definitely come off in tennis, too, when, like, you're playing for something like being embarrassed on a national program like the Jim Rome Show.
I can see both of you, like, getting halfway through and just going John McEnroe with it and completely losing your cool. I think you both have that
I have a lot of anger in me when I play tennis, but I just yell at myself.
You cannot be serious!
Oh, yeah, that's sort of, and as you guys can see, you can't really see with the headphones on. Haven't had a haircut since February, so when I put like the band, the sweat, you know, the sweat bandana thing, whatever the hell I'm trying to say, the hair just like go. I look like McEnroe.
Do you use the McEnroe, the one band across?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Oh yeah. Got to keep the sweat out of the glasses, man. You got, you know, to be able to use the, you know, those mediocre tennis moves that I overstated last time I was here before getting absolutely humiliated and crushed by an older guy.
I think tennis players are the only people that actually, well, and LeBron James. They're LeBron like the only people that use the headband anymore.
But I used to use a hat, but like I sweat a lot when I play tennis, right?
There's no other occupation where you can get away with wearing the headband. It doesn't work.
It looks amazing. I'm not going to lie. I look amazing in it. I look like I was born for the 80s. That's a show, huh? That's it? I have to go home? So much fun. Appreciate Jim and the crew allowing me to be here. I'll be back next Thursday and Friday. My name's Bill Ryder. Thank you for listening on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you for watching on CBS Sports Network. Great fill-ins the rest of the week. Jim will be back in a week and a half. This is the Jim Rome Show. I'm Bill Ryder. Thank you so much for being here.